Greetings, podcast audience. It is I, your friendly neighborhood podcasting host. Why wouldn't I just say podcast host? Anyway, your friendly neighborhood podcast host here. Just wanted to give you a brief heads up. Had some technical difficulties during this this episode. I sit at the producer section in the studio, and the mic isn't the best on that particular seat. I always want to shine the light on my guests, and especially this week. It was a fantastic show. So just to let you know, my mic will sort of drop out in the second and third segments. I may be a little hard to hear, which might even improve the show for you. I'm not going to lie. But this was a fantastic show. I was nervous as could be to meet Matt Gourley and interview him and Amanda. They're both really, really funny. And I did Amanda a great disservice this episode. And one of the reasons I want to do this little prologue was to let you know that you need to check out Ghost Girls. It's Ghost, standard spelling, and then Girls, G-H-I-R-L-S. Check it out on YouTube. I believe it was originally a Yahoo show, but you can get it on YouTube. And it's a really, really funny spoof of Ghost Hunter type shows and things like The Ghost Whisperer. Really, really great. So check that out. I'm so sorry, Amanda, for forgetting. Aside from that, this is by far one of my favorite episodes to record. I had such a great time, and I hope you do too. So I will shut up, but not before I tell you to check out Matt Gourley's I Was There Too, which he plugs briefly at the end of the episode. I've listened to almost all the episodes, and it is fantastic. Also check out his podcast with Matt Myra called James Bonding. If you're a James Bond fan, it's a must listen. Please follow us on Twitter at Soup Complex, S-O-U-P Complex, and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Soup Complex. Enjoy. Direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everybody. I said it right that time. I can never announce the name of my own or pronounce the name of my own podcast. Today's a very special podcast. We have first of all, thank you, Lauren. We have some apologies later on in the show, but Lauren Nichols is here. America's sweetheart. Everybody loves her. Podcast favorite. And of course, she can't go anywhere without her appendage.
No.
Thomas
like a
Bailey.
That she can't get rid of.
I almost called you Frank Thomas. I almost made a 90s baseball reference.
Well, his real name is William Thomas Bailey.
I didn't know that.
The fourth.
Wow.
I didn't know for a long time. No, I'm kidding.
I'm finally embracing it. It's going on my new business card. I was what? That sounds really good.
That isn't. William Thomas is a good business card. You pull it off.
Yeah. Especially because then I can be like, but you can call me Thomas. And then right there, I'm friends with a client.
You're
perfect.
First of all, they won't be as taken aback by the ascot you're wearing once you say, call me Thomas. Because if you say William Thomas, you have to be wearing an ascot.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And today we have a couple of really special guests.
Really, really special.
Very, very special guests. Thanks to Lauren, who set me up, and she's pushing me into into a direction I'm not entirely comfortable with, and that is talking with people whom I respect and admire. Normally I talk to my peers, and it's a lot
like
easier.
Me.
No one expects and admires their peers.
No one at all. But today in the studio we have with us Miss Amanda Lund and Mr. Matt Gourley.
Thank you for having us.
Hi.
Thank you for being here, you guys. You're going to hear that beep, and it's now become part of the show, but they were originally supposed to unplug the door so you couldn't hear it in here, but every time an angel gets its wings, you're going to hear that little beep. So you might know Matt and Amanda. They are both comedic performers? What do you guys like? How do you?
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself a comedic actress.
We know Amanda from I know you from the League. I've seen you in the league. So I was like, I know that person.
That's
really excited.
Oh, good.
I got excited. But you've done a lot of other work, and you also perform as part of an improv group. Or do you still?
Not at the moment. I'm not doing improv, but I have a two-person show with my friend Maria called Beans that hopefully we'll bring back at some point, but it's been lying dormant for a few years. I want to bring it back. Yeah, it's going to explode.
Years, it's going to come back for one night.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Every full moon. And then we have to her immediate right, Matt Gourley.
Hi.
Matt Gourley, you might know from such things as the Super Ego podcast. You might know him from his musical group, The Journeyman. And if you haven't heard their album, Mount Us More, please go out and listen to If Loving You Is Black right now. Pause this and go listen to it. And we're going to talk to but Matt's done. And you, right now you're the face of I was eating dinner the other day, and as if I wasn't nervous enough, in the middle of my pasta, I look up and there's Matt Gourley selling me a German automobile.
That's right.
Volkswagen. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you can say
Yeah. Now you are the spokesman. You're the face of Volkswagen.
For the time being.
How does that feel?
I don't know what they're thinking.
Now you have full beard, but yes. You're in full recluse Jedi mode. But you're very clean cut for the...
I'm between commercials, so I can go full Jedi.
How long... I mean, how did that come about? You just get to be...
I was doing commercial auditions for many years, and it's so funny because literally... A week before I got that, I quit. I was just sick of driving to auditions, and then one last one came in, actually through Superego, and that's how it happened, and then it just spiraled into being an ongoing thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's nice, though.
Yeah.
For an actor, that's nice to get that.
There are worse things.
Yeah.
And I lived in a Volkswagen family, so I felt pretty good about that, too.
I thought you were about to say that.
I lived in a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Or I still do.
Are you getting royalties for this podcast?
I thought you were going to say I lived in a van again for half a second.
I did. That's where Amanda and I met.
Is that true? You were cruising your van again around, and he was like, get in. That's a good way.
She needed a place to shack up, and I'm like, I've got 12 square feet.
But you have a little camper thing on top.
We did. That was my first car. It didn't have the pop-up camper, but it had a bed in it. Listen, if that sounds creepy, let me assure you that at the time I was getting no use out of that. I didn't know what I was doing. But it was a 1970 Volkswagen bus with a sink and a camper and a closet and two tables and a refrigerator. It was amazing.
What?
But it just looked like a regular bus.
It's like a TARDIS.
Wow. Yeah, it was. Yeah, fully contained.
That's awesome.
Bachelor pad.
I did not have one, but I had the Hot Wheel. Of the Volkswagen.
Fair enough.
The 80s, the square, the Vanagon.
Oh, yeah. The Westfalia.
Yeah, whatever that was. Yeah. I remember it. It was an ersatz mystery machine for my little Scooby Doo guys. Let's not get into that. Amanda, Lauren and I always end up talking about, I think having a daughter really, really changed my perspective on things.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want to get too serious, but how do you feel? Being a female performer in sort of this, do you feel like you get treated equally, or do you feel like you have to work harder to kind of get...
That's an interesting question. I feel like the climate is... I've only been doing this, 10... Like, really professionally, 4 or 5 years. And even over that time span, I feel like the climate for women has really changed in the industry, and there's a lot more opportunities now. But, a couple of years ago, there was a lot of rejection just because, there weren't that many female-driven comedies on TV.
Yeah.
But now, look at Fox. It's, all women.
And we should clarify that Amanda's female. That's why.
Yeah. I do identify as a female.
He's a professional podcaster. He jumps right in, helps me out. Thank you, Matt.
Do we all want to say our genders?
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable disclosing that information.
That just reminded me of the last episode of Super Ego, gender neutral pib. That was a line from the gender neutral pib. I want to ask you about a serious question about Super Ego, Matt. How is there ever been an episode where Paul F. Tompkins doesn't just burst out laughing in the middle of a skit?
There's never been an episode where we all don't. I try to edit it out as much as possible, but there are often times where the laugh is over someone saying something important.
Yeah.
And that's usually Paul, because he just goes, ah!
Yeah, that happened. I mentioned this before I ever knew you were coming on, so there's no accusations of ask history.
A kiss
but,
away.
Yeah, but my favorite thing of all last year was the Travel Bug episode of the Andy Daly podcast with you and Matt Besser and Paul F. Honest to God, there's people I know, we quote that every single day. And when I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to do the podcast today, and I won't see you. She said, where are you going? It's Sunday. She goes, who are you going to record with? And I said, I'm going to record with the Legoland guy. And then she goes, what? Are you serious? You're recording somebody famous? And then I said, not only am I recording with the Legoland guy, I said, because I let her listen to that little, she couldn't listen to the whole thing, obviously.
Sure,
of course. I let her listen to that little skit. She loved it. So she walks around saying, it's sad, Legoland, all the time. And then I told her you were friends with Paul F. And I described, I said, he's friends with Stromboli, because that's how she has that whole bit memorized, the Stromboli bit. And she looked at me and she said, I'm so happy right now, I could barf rainbows. That's exactly what
she said. Oh my God, that's exactly.
So my daughter just said it, you know, a little tip of the hat.
Barf rainbows.
Yeah, yeah, that's what she said. She said, I'm so happy I could barf rainbows.
Is that her?
That's her.
She is a character.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to hear the joke she wrote? I'm bragging about my kid. I'm gonna be one of those guys. But she wrote a joke about 3 years ago that really, it upset me because it was better than any joke I ever wrote when I was doing open mic. I was really, why was the comic book sad?
Why?
Because it had so many issues.
Oh, that is very clever.
She wrote.
You really got something.
She announced me. She's reading a book right now called iFunny, and it's about a kid. It's aimed at middle schoolers, and it's about a kid who decides he's going to be a stand-up comic.
Uh-huh.
So she announced to me the other day that she's like, Dad, I'm going to be a comedian. And I said, okay. And I said, what about your other plan? She goes, well, I could still be an architect and be, you know, I could be a comedian on the side, you know?
She sure is.
I said, okay, good. I said, good for you. And then she goes, you know, Dad, but you're funny, but like, I mean, I want to be funny, you know? I want to be funny. No offense. I want to be funny. And I was like, good for you, kid. That's right. That's what I want. I want for you to. Listen, kid, I had 6 months of open mic. And that, you know, it culminated in a girls' league performance at Pioneer High School in 1999. That is not a lie. I was a triumph. The moms loved me. God, that was awful. Okay, enough about me. That's all. That's a peek behind the curtain.
Have you guys ever done like a stand up or open mic?
No, I've never done stand up, and I'm so horrified. I thought about taking a class just to push myself out of my comfort zone, right? But I can't imagine doing it.
How did you start doing improv?
I just had some friends who started taking classes, and I was like, not without me. And I
just... That was really it?
Yeah. I really had no, like...
You just didn't want to be a social outcast?
Yeah. And then I really liked it, because I've always been terrible at doing drama, so it really helped me pinpoint the road I wanted to go down.
Yeah. Hey, what was your major in school?
Theater.
You were terrible at drama, yet you decided to major in theater.
Well, I was good at comedy.
Well, that's good, though. That's perfect. Well, that's the hardest of all.
That's what they say. Not for me, but like, for instance, last week I had an audition where I usually just go out for comedy, but I had an audition where I played an FBI agent.
Oh, God.
And I had to like be shooting down zombies, and then I had to say a line that I said, I shoot with my eyes open.
This is the Sam Raimi evil.
I don't think we're supposed to disclose. Oh, yeah.
No, you know what, Amanda? Nobody listens. It's okay.
Okay. I don't want to get sued.
Nobody listens.
Really?
Did they make you do any action? Because I've gotten called in for like war ones.
Yeah,
and then like, okay, hide behind the chair and pretend like you're throwing grenades. It's like, can I just say the lines? Like, this is ridiculous.
Listen, nothing is worse than the time I had to make out with a pillow.
Oh, my God.
And it had a little hat on it.
I would prefer that over you do a scene where it's an audition, like, okay, and then you guys do a little kiss, and the girl's just like,
yeah.
No.
And you're like, well, that's going to kill both of us, because there's clearly nothing here. Because
it makes you look like a predator.
Yeah. We're burying the lead. What kind of hat did the pillow have on?
It had a baseball cap on, I guess, to make it more realistic.
Did it have a face drawn on it?
Yeah,
were you supposed to be making out with
was
Fred
it John
Durst?
Was that?
It was slightly askew.
Yeah, just, yeah. Backwards baseball hat. That's awesome.
I would love a Fred Durst pillow.
You guys...
I might have to make one.
Fred Durst body pillow?
That sounds pretty fun. It sounds like a good craft project.
I once went to dinner and Fred Durst was there, and he walked in with his whole family and sat his family down and then kind of basically said something to the effect of like, okay, enjoy your dinner. And then he sat a table away with his buddy and just played backgammon.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So that shatters everything I expected.
I know. Makes me like him.
Yeah. I like that he wasn't on his phone the whole time. Is that wrong?
Yeah,
Is that wrong?
Yeah, he was on his backgammon board the whole time.
Did he bring it or did his friend bring it?
I think, I don't know. It was almost like I imagine it somehow that they had it in a briefcase handcuffed to their wrists. Like, awesome. It was important.
Like the nuclear football?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's great. See, that's a peek inside Fred Durst that I never thought I'd get. This is the kind of thing when you get an Amanda and a Mac Orley. if I can, Matt, I want to ask how you go about what I love about Super Ego. And if you don't listen to Super Ego, please listen to Super Ego because it's funny. But what I love about it, it's not that it's funny. It reminds me when I was a kid, I was really into listening to like Monty Python records and Cheech and Chong records.
Yeah, me too.
And it's all of the sound effects that really make it. A lot of craft and a lot of love obviously goes into the podcast to do. And sometimes it's just the dumbest things. Like there was a skit you did with H.R. Giger at a drive-thru.
Yeah.
And just the honking in the background every once in a while. You have that ambient sound. How much work goes into doing a Super Ego podcast?
Most of it goes into the editing. So it's funny. I cobble the sound effects from different online resources, or sometimes I record it. Like one time it was really strange. We had a sketch where Jeremy was playing Ian McKellen trying to give another guy a bath, a house guest a bath. And I couldn't find proper bath Foley. So I put mics in the bathtub, in the bathroom, and just took a bath.
But to be fair, Matt only takes baths.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's true. Is that true?
Well, yeah. I shower, but I always end the shower with a bath.
Which is opposite.
Yeah, I would think you go.
No, because you clean.
Yeah.
Then your work's done.
Yeah, yeah, then you're
you
not into
it. And then you get out and you lay on a table and someone hits you with sticks.
I'm into
the
that.
Burning sage.
Awesome.
So this is really interesting. Like, I was taking a class and
I thought you were going to say I was taking a bath. No. None of these sentences are ending the way I want them to.
But actually, like, the benefits of taking baths are, like, huge.
What? And tell me more. Validate me.
Specifically for sex, actually. Like,
really?
One of the things was in, like, comparing Japan and American, like, work cultures and, like, talking about, like, just overworking in general because both America and Japan, like, have crazy work hours, right? And people are, like, working from home and especially with the internet, you're always working. And so they're saying, but, like, Japanese people have such a lower level of stress overall, and, like, why is that? And there's, like, a lot of things like diet, but they also said the phenomenon of really hot baths, that Japanese people, like, that's what they do. And so if you Google, like, a Japanese bath, they're very expensive, but they're these really deep, deep baths, and then you just take really, really hot baths.
Matt's so happy.
And, like, yeah. And, like,
he's standing at, like, scouts position right now.
Yes. And it's really cool. The hotter the bath, you take a really hot bath.
No, his is lukewarm.
No, compared to you like it, like, thermal.
I like
Venus temperatures.
Because the hotter the bath that you have, like, when your body is, like, submerged in, like, this really hot temperature, it, like, releases, like, dopamine, like, our release.
I must be. I must be addicted to it.
Yeah. Maybe, but yeah.
I'm addicted to bathing.
There are worse things.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
I'm hygienic.
But yeah, so now you know.
Wow, that makes me feel so good about my life choices.
You know what? The whole time you were telling me, I was just thinking of that scene in You Only Live Twice, where all the girls are bathing James Bond.
And, yeah.
We have Bond a picture time. Of that in
we
our
do.
In our
we
home.
Have a picture.
We do. We have like an art piece.
No, keep going. No. Keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
This print of a wonderful drawing of Connery in that bath with all the Japanese women. And then there's just absurdly, you know, those Japanese like gray monkeys that bathe. They're in there as well. That's amazing.
Did you see those in Japan?
Oh, those little monkeys. Yeah. They try and steal your wallets.
What?
How many wallets are you carrying?
Well, I've got a money belt when I travel, of course.
You got a grouch bag.
Yeah. Is it on the waist or is it up high?
No, it's on the waist like a belly chain. It hangs low.
She just
I wear
got
it over my clothes.
Stacks of hundreds duct taped to her torso right now.
But on the outside. Just on the outside.
It's a fashion thing.
Like a Chewbacca bandolier with this money in it. That would be great. I'm gonna walk around like that. Did you recently travel to Japan? Because I'm fascinated with Japan and I've never been.
No, I was there probably 7 or 8 years ago. I worked at Tokyo Disney out there.
What?
Which was really fun. I lived out there for 7 months. And it was, I mean, it was a blast. It was so much fun.
What did you do at Tokyo Disney?
I played Cinderella and Mary Poppins.
Oh, of course.
And I got to dance on the floats and sing in Japanese.
Wait, can you tell me that? Can you do some of that?
Yeah, can you remember?
No, because the whole, like, we were supposed to learn these songs, but I just, like, wouldn't learn how to move my mouth.
Lip sync in Japanese.
Yeah, yeah.
That's even more impressive somehow.
Yeah, so lip-sync, I would just, like, go like, ni na ni nu ni na na no.
Wow. You're like an onion. There's just layers and layers.
Yeah, seriously.
That's awesome. So do you want to, can we get a little personal and ask how you guys met?
Yeah, who, Lauren and I?
Yeah, Lauren. No, yeah. Yeah, for, you know what? Actually, let's go back. Let's talk about, because you guys are good friends.
Yeah.
And so that's a great place to start.
Oh, let's hope the other friends
don't. Yeah, I didn't want to say.
I don't have one best friend. Sorry.
There's some treachery afoot.
Yeah, I didn't want to. That's why I didn't want to do that, because I know none of them listen. What am I saying? Okay, so you guys met in
high school.
In high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But yeah, we met in freshman year in high school, but still I'm considered like the new friend because the other best friends, I've all been together since preschool.
Yeah, so basically. So
I like how you still carry that around. Yeah.
It gets brought up.
Who, Lauren? Oh, the new friend.
Oh, the new friend.
Oh, her.
By the way, these girls are all in their 50s. So you guys became friends, and then you've stayed friends. And then we all know the story, the werewolf story of how Matt and... Matt.
Matt and Thomas.
Yeah, Matt Thomas. Thomas and Lauren.
That would be an interesting story.
It was a werewolf.
Yeah.
I still love that. That's my favorite thing ever. He was wearing a werewolf costume.
I was in the werewolf costume.
Yeah, you were in an Amy Winehouse costume.
She was Amy Winehouse.
Naturally.
I don't listen to my own podcast.
I had a slender face.
Nor am I interested in anyone other than myself. We've learned two things here. So how did Matt and Amanda, how did this happen? I want to hear this. This is a Hollywood
theme park story.
Hollywood love story.
Yes, it is a story for the ages.
That's right.
We were both working as improv performers at Universal Studios, playing British people, just generic British people, and we'd hang out of a window.
I was a classic British rocker, and you were like a Spice Girls pop star.
We got hired to do a job where we played like kind of snooty old-timey British people drinking tea, and I was a lady and he was a gentleman. And then a week into doing this, they were like, this doesn't work, it's not fun enough. So they're like, you're a pop star and he's like a musician. And so then all of a sudden I was having to sing with a microphone on a balcony.
I didn't know.
And they gave me drumsticks, so I would just be like
drumming.
It was crazy. And I have the worst voice, but like Matt would, it turned into like an improvisational like music thing, and I kept thinking, how am I doing this? Why?
But we also, so we'd been rehearsing for maybe a week or something like that, and I think we knew, well, the first day we knew we liked each other. Yeah. I mean, when I met you, I said, uh-oh. And
I wish I had a sound effect for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of werewolves, it was the first day we were on a break, and we were on an escalator at Universal, and there was this couple. They were probably in their 40s, and for some reason they had matching shirts that had the design from the movie Wolf, not the Jack Nicholson one. It was the Benicio del Toro one.
The couple was
wearing matching like $60 full print blouse versions of those.
Really?
And Amanda goes, that'll be us in 20 years. This is the first day we met.
Just a lighthearted joke.
Yeah. Little did you know, he's got the jacket printed already.
And then we would improvise up there and just be gazing at each other. And like to the detriment of the show, we would stop improvising.
And we were playing brother and sister.
Oh, that's where it started.
It was very Game of Thrones.
Matt's love of Star Wars goes to a new level.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. Can you guys hear me? All of a sudden I sound weird.
You sound fine here.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm just going to kill the momentum of that story with my... See, again, I bring the focus back to me. Oh, God, I'm the worst. We know Matt can do voices. What, Amanda? Let me hear your. Can I hear your British? Your British.
Oh
accent?
My gosh! It's the worst. When I was in Japan, I could do English Mary Poppins, but it was butchered and no one knew.
Do your English Mary Poppins.
Oh my gosh! I think I would be like, I have to do some vocal warm-ups, but...
I promised I wouldn't make Matt do any voices to myself, but I didn't say anything about
Matt.
Okay,
well, I'm going to do it. It's going to impress no one. I can't even do it. I can't.
What did we used to say? You'd say, oh, I got this at Topshop or whatever.
I'd be like, do you like my... Oh, no, this is what I would always say to the people walking by. Oh, look at those tartan trousers. Seriously, no idea what I'm doing.
Do people interact with you guys?
A lot of times they just pass by with their eyes forward.
Remember, there was this really adorable special needs couple that I think their caretakers would literally drop them off almost daily and just let them be in there all day, and they would come below the balcony and we would talk with them and they were fantastic.
But they thought I was somebody else because one time they were like, we loved you in Halloween Horror Nights. Like, you are our favorite zombie. And I was like, oh, thanks.
Did you do it in a British accent?
Oh, thank you.
That's perfect. I thought we were recording a Downton Abbey podcast. But everybody has a really crappy accent that they do. You know, everybody does all Americans have a really bad British accent that they do. So when I hear somebody, I think you do Ian Fleming. So when I hear you do that and then you mispronounce the right words, it's so perfect. So how long does it take you to hammer out an accent? Or were you always good at it?
I guess a lifetime in a way, because I think as long as I could remember, I was always doing it and while I'm driving and stuff. There are certain ones that I can't just because I don't think I've ever tried.
Yeah.
South African is really difficult because
that would be cool.
as it is authentically sounds like a bad British accent.
Yeah. Mm.
So they're, you know, like the put it in your pocket, man.
That's good. That's really good.
But doesn't that sound like someone doing a bad accent?
That sounds like my British accent.
When you watch
with less giggling.
What's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond. And I saw that and didn't know it was in South Africa. I saw a snippet of it, and I'm like, God, his accent's abysmal. And then I saw it later, and I'm like, wow, that's really good.
Though there are, but everybody tries to do, it is funny because everybody has something they try to do, or it's a go-to, or everybody has like a Schwarzenegger or something. So when I hear somebody do something, or you hear somebody do a dead-on impersonation of a celebrity that you never thought could, like when somebody does an Owen Wilson or something, it's like, Owen Wilson's just so, he's Owen Wilson, but then, you know, there's nothing really remarkable about him. And then until somebody does it really well, and then you're like, oh my God, that's the perfect Owen Wilson. Mm. So when people do that, I really,
do you have one?
No, I don't do any, I don't do impersonations. I don't. She's just looking at me, and she's like,
Wait, is he doing one right now?
I'm doing one.
We're going to rap, and his voice is going to change. It's actually South African.
I actually have a really hardcore West Whittier, like Cheech accent, but I've overcome it to be on this podcast. Then when the mics go off, it goes right back into it. You know, of all things I can't do a Mexican accent.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Spanish.
I do, but I can't. I speak drive-through Spanish.
Say something in drive-through Spanish.
Okay. Hi, I'll have, can I get a number 3, a sourdough jack with a large Dr. Pepper, and 2 tacos. See?
It's just the last two words.
It's the newscaster accent. Yeah. They're telling this whole thing. President Obama today proposed that junior college will be free. I'm Linda Alvarez, reporting from downtown LA. That's our claim to fame. You guys do not have to do courtesy laughs. Please, please. I know I'm a professional comedian. I'm sweating. Oh my God, this is so much pressure, you guys.
That was a legitimate laugh on my part. Just so you know, I only have 3 of those for you today. So.
Oh yeah. Is there a quota I need to
meet?
Yes.
He's got a punch card.
Next one's free.
Beat me to it. God dang it. I'm working with professionals. Can you tell us a little bit about the Journeyman, Matt?
Sure. That started years ago. Jeremy and I have always been huge fans of outlaw country Western music from the 70s, like Waylon Jennings specifically. And we would always just goof around with it. And Jeremy, who's my partner for Super Ego, has this mind that's just amazing.
By the way, let's talk about everybody else. It's Paul F. Tompkins this season. Yeah. I wrote him down because I can never remember Mark McConville. I always want to say Mark Conville. I don't know why.
And you Jeremy want to Carter. Take the Irish out of him. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. Jeremy Carter. So those are your. And Paul F. replaced
Jeff Crocker.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was basically a video guy.
Okay.
He's still a great friend of ours.
Okay.
And we'll occasionally work with him.
Good. Again. I want to make sure everything's good.
Everything's great.
Really, okay. Are you guys just all friends and that's how it happened? Like, you guys didn't, like, audition somebody new? It's like,
no, not at all.
Like,
yeah. It was so informal. I mean, everything we were doing was well before a human was ever listening to anything. I mean, we were doing the podcast forever before anyone was listening.
It's something I discovered in the recent past. And then I went back and I was like, this is amazing. Where have I been?
And we did it in 2006. So not only do we have listeners, but people weren't really listening to podcasts that much back
then.
Well,
you know, I'm a huge fan of Jimmy Pardo's podcast, Never Not Funny.
Yeah.
And he's forever complaining about the fact, like right now, it's a running joke with him about Marc Maron, you know. Or he's talking about Serial now, about how he's like, oh, yeah, did you guys hear there's podcasts now? And it's called Serial, and that's amazing because they invented the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
And he's been doing it since, I think, 2006
as well. I just did that show. He's amazing.
Jimmy Pardo's the best. I'm sorry, Super Ego's the best. But Jimmy Pardo.
Superiority complex.
That's
right.
By the way, superiority complex in no way meant to infringe upon Super Ego. Just so you know.
Do what you do.
No, I just know. The title was not taken. Like, I'll show those.
I didn't even put that
down. Yeah, I just realized that.
Yeah,
right now.
But we need to talk.
There's going to be some.
You've been hearing from our people.
You can communicate with me through a thick wall of lawyers, Gorley, if you want to come after me.
Yeah, we have some of the best podcast lawyers in the business.
Yeah, we do. You need them. You need them for all that music you play illegally. Nobody checks.
I know.
Nobody checks.
Well, the thing is, what were they suing everyone? It was like the order of playlist is what everyone was getting sued for because someone owned the copyright to that.
What?
There was
What's
some
it?
Crazy thing going. I don't know how it unfolded.
Oh, that's what I'm afraid.
Someone copyrighted playlists, and because podcasts, I don't know if it's exactly.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
But then
this is the big podcast
things,
lawsuit that was going around, and it was really about this guy threatening people to get them to settle.
Mm-hmm.
But some, like Marc Maron and Adam Carolla,
which
took them
like,
to
fuck
town.
You, dude.
Yeah, and they got lawyers involved. I guess it was a dangerous precedent, but they figured it out. I think.
Yeah, it was last year. Jimmy Parker was talking
that's
about
right.
it.
Yeah.
So were you just on Never Not Funny? Is that correct?
Yeah, about a month or two ago. Yeah.
It's
one of the premium ones.
Oh,
so
that's what you know. Yeah, what I'm backlogged because those will not download onto my.
But that man is truly an American gem. I really, really love him. I do. Jimmy Pardo's the best.
He's underrated, and the thing about Jimmy is that there's nothing. There's just no way to fit him on television because he's basically just doing crowd work, and there's really no forum for him.
There is a way. He's a huge General Hospital fan,
yes!
and I wanted to get this thing going to get him on General Hospital.
He watches
it every day.
Yeah, he does. He's a huge fan. I took Lauren to I remember the first time we listened to Never Not Funny, I said, I've got this podcast I want you to listen to, and she hears the opening, and she's like, oh, is this the high-energy opening? Your eyes were rolling. And then after that, you're like, this is really good. This is really. And then I took you to Podcastathon, when you're my wife.
Yeah.
We've gone to every year, my wife and I have gone. A 12-hour marathon.
Yeah, so I think it started at like 7 at night and it went till 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was just like had a cold. But it was so cool because it's like a huge like community of like fans. And so like people brought pizza in.
Wow.
Yeah. And, like, people
it's,
were sharing
it's a lot of
and
fun.
Like having chats.
I'm waiting for Matt Gorley to show up on the podcastathon just so I could wave at him from the audience. Yeah, like he'll be like, oh, yeah. I did that to Patton Oswalt this year. I saw Patton in the coming down the hall and I just geeked out like crazy. I didn't know what to do. I just words. Just, I don't remember. They just fell out.
Just
did you see the new Star Wars trailer, man? Oh, my God. I don't remember. And he's just like, yeah, man. And I was like, can we take a picture? He's like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, he could not have been nicer. But I was just so. And I just look like a giant.
You look huggable. If you came up to me going like, oh my God, hug. Okay.
Yeah. You're good at hugging. I'm not going to lie. Thomas.
I like
a hug from you is like, it's like a bath to Matt Gorley.
That's
it is.
Right.
It is. It's
that's
relaxing.
True.
There's endorphins
hug.
Released. But we got off topic. We were talking about the Jeremy. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's
all
right.
You were going to tell us how it all came together.
Yeah. Just Jeremy and I love this music. And so I think as long as Super Ego was going, we'd always do just a little segment on there where we do some music, and then at one point we hooked up with our friend James, who's basically like the fifth member of Super Ego, and he's a music
and
editor and producer.
Man on the
he,
face
isn't
of
he?
Earth.
Yeah.
And he looks like Clark Kent. He's amazing, and he's an amazing producer. And before we knew it, we go, let's record an album. We've got some songs, and we'll put some together. And little did we know, I think it took 3 years because we weren't recording it full time. But it was just a passion project, and now it just exists as an album that kind of like is a sister thing to Super Ego.
It's Who, so good.
It is. It's really funny, and it's just dead on some of the parodies. And
oh, thank you.
It's kind of like Spinal Tap, where it's so good, you're like, is this real or yeah. is this some? You remember that in the 80s when people thought Spinal
yeah.
Tap? There was a group of people that thought Spinal Tap.
Because
was
there
real
are
band.
Real things that are not comedy but are more ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
yeah, thank you. That's what we were hoping
it's
for.
Really, right? it really hits all the right spots. And so it's a parody, but you can also tell there's a lot of love in there.
Yeah.
And it's not just so it makes sense that you would be into that style of music. Have you heard it, Lauren?
Amanda played me some songs. Yeah. I think we were going to San Diego.
I played you some songs.
You guys need to be at Stagecoach and just show up. Just show up like you're a real group and do that. That would be amazing.
Also, would love to go to Stagecoach.
Me too. I really want to.
What is Stagecoach? Wait, why do I?
It's basically Coachella with, but it's like four.
Oh yeah,
it's insane.
Country
yeah, yeah.
music.
Okay,
yeah.
yes, that's right. I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. Where is that?
In Indio. It's, I think same place.
India.
It's Indio.
India.
Yeah,
it's huge over there.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be great.
Indians love their classic country.
Nobody did an Indian accent. I'm so proud of all of you. I wanted to.
That's the thing. That's the only way you get good at it. No. You just go for it when you feel it.
I teach improv, and I always like do a section on just basics of accents, and so I'm so comfortable going like, you know, here's a basic British, Scottish, maybe even French, and then inevitably every semester will be someone will be like, do Chinese or Indian, and I can't because I feel like I'm going to seem so racist.
Yeah. Yeah. Never in an improv scene or on a film set should you ever be asked to do a Chinese or Indian accent.
No,
like,
I know.
Unless you're Mickey Rooney.
Japanese. My friend, the one I was telling you about earlier, his dad owned the hotel, Indian. And so I love the accent where they would do things like his dad will say, his dad's a huge Lakers fan. And I'll be like, you know, he'll be like,
it's coming.
No, but he'll call Dallas. No, I'll say one word, but he'll say that, you know, we'll talk about the game. And he said, you know, they lost to Dallas. It's not Dallas,
yeah,
it's Dallas.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I hear words like
that.
That makes me laugh. Yeah. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I always say Dallas. I'm like, oh, we lost to Dallas. Everybody's like, what? Nothing. But it's in my head. It's forever in there. But it endears me. So let's take a quick break because we've been talking for 2 hours already. And and then it just felt like it to me because I feel like you guys are really you know why? You guys are really carrying me. You guys are carrying me because I am just
you're aces. What are you talking about?
Listen, yeah. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Everybody else quiet. Thank you for the support. we'll be right back. Welcome back to Squatter's Rights. That would be the name of my toilet podcast. All right, here we go. We're back.
Squatter's Rights.
That's it. No? Wait. Nothing.
I like it.
Nope.
Thank you. Thomas, you're my number one supporter. We're back. We had a little break, and it was exciting. We talked about a lot of stuff. Matt drew us a picture, and we talked about the movie Extreme Prejudice. And we talked about squibs. Are you obsessed with squibs?
I am. When I was a kid, I figured out how to make them with a battery and a little model rocket igniter and firecrackers, and so we would test them out on each other with these little steel plates and try to film it with a Super 8 camera.
How were we not friends in Whittier? Like, you were in Whittier, we were like-minded.
Yeah, because you were West Whittier and I was East Whittier.
I was La Mirada by that time.
Oh,
that's
well, see, that's... I mean, that's I'm just saying, like, East Whittier wasn't... I felt West Whittier was cooler. Like, you guys were more real. We were just...
more real.
From the streets.
Yeah.
You guys bought your blood packs.
It's funny, we moved to La Mirada, but we made a movie. My friends and I made a movie when we were in... college. It was a little, did it all on VHS, but we couldn't figure out the squibs, and it was an action movie called Death Squad on a Budget, and there's a sequel that we made, but we wrote the script, but we never shot, and Thomas wants to do it.
I want to do it
as
a
radio
a
drama.
Oh, you should.
Have fun.
I'm going to have, now that I have a cast together.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now that I, yeah, but We could not, for the life of us, figure out how to do squids.
I skipped my 8th grade graduation because I that day had figured it out, and I just stayed home and was like doing them over and
over.
Oh
my god!
And so squibs are blood packs.
For they're either blood packs if they're under like a thing of blood, or they're the things in the ground that make it look like bullets.
Oh,
hit,
that's
like
so
the
cool.
Electronic things that blow
somebody
up.
Told me that what you could do to do a machine gun. We didn't think of it at the time. Is you get an air compressor, you get like a length of rubber tubing, and you punch holes in it, and you just cover it.
I never tried that.
You cover it lightly with dirt, and then you hit the gas on the air compressor, and it flies up.
We eventually learned about this thing, and then I built it, which was a 2x4 with nails hammered through, so these nails are sticking out in a row. And then you plug it into the wall, and one charge goes to the nails, and the other goes to a little metal spike in your hand. And those are connected to a row of squibs in the ground. And you rake it along like that. And as you rake it, the squibs go bah, 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 like that. Like,
clever.
Yeah,
that's
so ingenious.
My
know?
Friend Robert had worked out something, and we never got to do it in our sequel that was never shot. Because we shot all the interior scenes, then we're going to do the action scenes. And so we got all those shot, and then we never did the action scene. But he came up with a way. It was basically just a little lever. You put a 2x4, and you get like some kind of container, and you just fill it with dirt, and you hide it behind a fence.
We did that all the time.
Yeah,
and it's just a teeter-totter, and you blow up and jump.
Yeah, and then you do the... But did you know, Matt, do you know what the first movie is where somebody was catapulted from an explosion? You know, a grenade would hit, and then they would do a catapult and launch into the air. Do you know what film that was?
No, can you give me a hint on like what year?
Yeah, I will give you a hint. It's you would talk about it on one of your podcasts.
Oh, okay. I do know. Well, it's obviously James Bond, but I want to say it's got to be You Only Live Twice.
That is correct, sir.
Wow.
That is correct, sir.
Ding, ding, ding.
That is correct. I also think that's the first time you ever see somebody get the machine gun, because one of the ninja guys gets machine gun.
Yeah.
And you actually see, there's not blood, but I think you see the squibs go off. I think that's the first time you see that, too.
Yeah, so that was, 67, maybe? Yeah, so when was Bonnie and Clyde was one of the early Squib movies, too?
Keep talking.
There's
I'll
one before
it. I'll look
I don't
that
know.
Up.
This can't be good listening.
This is exactly the kind of things we talk about on the show. If you want to see a good Squib movie, I don't know if you've ever seen a Chow Yun-Fat movie called... it's a John Woo film called Hard Boiled.
Oh, no, I know the movie. I've never seen it.
Oh, the
I love a good squib
movie.
The
bad part is that it's kind of obvious. That
I don't
some
mind.
Of them
are, I like that.
I've never seen more squids. Squibs. I've never seen more squibs go off. Or like, you know, maybe not since Dirty Dozen. Wild Bunch.
Oh, yeah. The worst thing that happened in films was the digital squibs that they do now. But
I don't like that.
RoboCop and Red Dawn... Extreme Prejudice, those are all really good squib movies.
The first use of squibs was
some genre.
Was in a 1955 Polish film.
Squib comedies, squib dramas, squib actions.
Squib rom-coms.
Oh my god.
Different kind of squib.
I guess Bonnie and Clyde is kind of a rom-com.
Yeah, it kind of is.
That's
it
right.
Is.
Yeah.
That is Squib Rom-Com. That should be just the name of your podcast, Amanda. Squib Rom-Com.
Squib Rom-Coms.
What the hell is
There's
this?
None.
You'll get...
Dead air.
Jennifer Aniston would be in the first squib.
I'd like to see her get squibbed.
Whoa!
No, I love Jennifer Aniston.
Let's talk about it. The hatred of Jennifer Aniston. For the longest time, I never understood what the big deal about her was. And then recently, my wife's been rewatching Friends every night just to go to sleep.
Oh.
It's like her go-to-sleep
show. Yeah, comforting.
So I come home, or I go up to the bed, and I'm watching it, and, you know, I'll finish out the episode. And I'm like, what? Why did I... Why all my hate for...
This is... It's so great. I'm on the other side, because I thought Friends was entertaining before, but then we tried watching it now that it was on Netflix, and I couldn't get through, like, an episode.
Really? I love it.
It's just so obvious, and it's like... It just was so hard.
Well,
because
everything's mimicked it
so
since, so it's probably tainted
Maybe.
It for you. Yeah.
Because I remember, like, liking
Context.
It when it was on, but then watching
Amanda
it again,
with
it was
a save
just...
of Friends.
But then...
Everyone else ruined it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, it's like I can't think of the band name right now.
I mean, I guess for the nostalgia, but I was never the biggest fan.
I'm thinking you two need a like Friends debate podcast where you go.
Let's do it right now, Friends. Let's do it right now. The one where Amanda and Lauren debate Friends. Go.
Well, my favorite episode was there's a specific scene I thought it was one of the best. It's after Rachel and Ross break up, and then he requests the U2 song for her in the rain.
That was just on. That was just on. Well, it wasn't just on. My wife was just watching that.
I just love Phoebe.
I'd watch that one again. I like Lisa Kudrow, but I don't know.
The first awareness I ever had of Friends was actually an ad in a comic book, which is such a strange place to, like,
Before
it came on, it was this fall on NBC, here are the four shows, and one of them was Friends, and it was Courtney Cox's face. Isn't that strange?
Wow. Yeah. You're like, hey, that's the girl from the Dancing in Dark video.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
Speaking of Lisa Kudrow, though, do you know that she was supposed to be Roz on Frasier?
Oh, I had heard that.
I just saw that on like some kind of BuzzFeed, like 13 things you didn't know about.
No, because I've heard about, she talks about her career, how she really didn't hit big until
Friends,
and she was like in her 30s, I think. So she had a lot of rejection. Makes
that's
me feel
so
better.
You got to stick with it.
Yeah.
You got to stick with it. And that's the whole, I mean, how do you guys deal with that? I honestly, God, I would just be mashed up at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. Well, you got to think, I think when you first started in this business, you're like, I'm going to get discovered in a mall. Like, that's how it happens. Like, but no, it's really, I guess you have to think of it like it's a marathon, not a race.
Yeah.
And if you stick with it, like, people start to drop like flies, move back to Kansas or wherever. Yeah. Then there's more job opportunity.
It's really just a waiting game.
Yeah, it's seriously a waiting game. Like, if you wait out long enough, like, you'll eventually work because other people give up.
Yeah.
But or go to law school.
But your credit, like, you don't just try, like, camera stuff. Like, you're a writer, you know, you're involved in
that helps.
I want to talk about that more as well. Yeah, you write, you're a writer, so
yes.
Do you find it, do you like performing good or do you like writing better?
I think, well, it depends. I think performing is a little bit more fun. Writing can be very tedious, and I can really only write if I have a partner and it makes it a little bit more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I write a lot. Well, I've written with Matt. We wrote a script together, which is a lot of fun. But really, I started writing out of necessity because I wasn't getting any jobs. So I started writing, like, some little web series stuff. But yeah. I've always loved reading and writing, you know, and, like, took, like, creative writing in college and poetry and stuff. But, like, script writing I really started doing just because, like, I feel like now you have to do that if you want to work.
Yeah.
Make your own stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, Thomas does it too.
Yeah, I do a lot of it.
It's like the best way.
But I think right now that it's the best time for that because you can get stuff out. You can market yourself. You can get stuff out on the web. You can, you know, 20 years ago that wasn't happening. Even 10 years ago. Now so many more people are in tune with what's going on. You have people like Felicia Day who's doing, you know, like a web series. And now she's huge.
Yeah.
And it's all because she started this little web series about playing, what was it, Magic the Gathering, playing World of Warcraft.
Mm.
And now, you know, she's getting work because of this little web series that she did. So I think if there's any encouragement out there, it's, you know, now you don't have to just go the traditional route. There's other ways to get.
Make your stuff, put it out there, and then just keep making stuff. Don't wait around because it might never happen, but it probably will.
That's your slogan?
Yeah.
That's your, it might never happen, but it probably will.
I say that to myself in the mirror every morning.
While Matt's in the bath?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, this again.
Matt, you were just saying that you had a commercial audition for Volkswagen. Do you find that even though you're well known as an improv performer, I mean you're well known in improv circles, and I guess in, for lack of a better word, like alternative comedy, but do you find that helps you or does that hinder you when you're going out for?
It only helps if they know that. I mean, I think most people don't know that, so it doesn't do a thing. You know? The time it helps is like the Volkswagen thing where they've called me in because they know me from that.
Uh-huh.
So that is a great help because it also signifies to me that I can maybe do a little different stuff as opposed to like needing to appeal to their more standardized kind of thing. And I think with the Volkswagen thing too, I was so sick of commercials, but they were so nice when I went in and I knew that they knew me from Super Ego. So I don't want to say I didn't care, but I just did what I wanted to do and they somehow responded, and it always teaches me a lesson, like don't try to do what they want to do.
Do
your best thing and you'll either be right or wrong for it, and probably most of the time you'll still be wrong for it, but when you're right for it, you're really right for it.
I guess someone on the outside would say, well, they're hiring you for you, so be yourself, but when you're in the position, you're like, no, I've got to do
it's that. Amazing how that takes over. You really do think I need to give them what they want, but that's probably not what they want you for.
We actually just cast the film. It was my first time being behind a desk casting people. And it was so, like, as an actor, it's an eye-opening experience because we saw, I mean, hundreds of people, it felt like. And you just know, like, it's from the second the person walks in the room, you're like, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it like a look?
It's a feeling, like, because we did this film and we were looking for a guy that was kind of just a normal American guy, and we ended up going with a Brazilian dude because he just walked in and he's just like, he looked like it, he sounded like it, and it, I don't know, you just feel it. It just feels right. You know, he comes in and sets a bar, and it's like, well, everyone will be compared to this now.
And the reason why I ask that is, like, if I was in your position, like, I'm casting, and I imagine, like, the time involved in doing that, and if it is a looks thing, then is your headshot good enough? Like, would that
Because it's also a lot about, like, how is the person going to be working with for 5 weeks?
Oh, okay.
Like, because there was a bunch of people that came in that were like, well, they could do it. They're not our first choice, but if it comes down to it, but then you'd be like, we don't want to be around this person for 5 weeks.
That's a huge part of it.
It sounds miserable.
Especially getting cast, like, on a TV show where you could be stuck with someone for 7 years. That's how long the contracts are.
Wow.
If you're the best person for the role, but you're a jerk, like, you're probably not going to get it because who wants to work with you for 7 years?
It's, it's kind of like online dating, too, where everybody puts their best foot forward on the profile. Then you meet him and you go, that's not them. They've sent someone else.
Thomas, what is the movie you just shot?
We just shot a movie called Panopticon. And we shot it with four people. It's a theory that, like, I don't remember the guy's name. I didn't write the movie, so I'm not as knowledgeable as the dude who wrote it.
I hope you had written the movie. I don't remember the guy's name.
That's my other stuff. I don't remember any of that. But it's based on this theory that there was a theory that a guy had for prisons that make all prisons circular and put a camera in the middle and have the camera always spinning. And therefore, no one will know when they're actually being filmed or not, and so everyone will behave. And that was the idea that the movie was written about, which is a horribly flawed thing because we know now with cameras everywhere, no one gives a shit. And so the story was based on that it's a dude who's allergic to the sun, so he's confined to his own room, and he acts as that camera to spy on the world around him. And he ends up kind of like tiptoeing in these different worlds that he gets exposed to and how he reacts to it.
Very nice.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty dark. It gets very dark. And I play a very dark character in it.
Very briefly. So he comes home and he's like, hey, would you mind, like, helping me? Like, because they only cast so many people. And so
there's four
character.
People in the crew. There's the director, a producer, myself, the DP, and a sound guy.
And so the director and Thomas alternately would be, like, the kind of, like, side character, you know, where it was appropriate. And so he's like, hey, will you help me do these lines? Like, I was like, okay. And he's like, well, you mind, like, coming to the bedroom? And I was like, okay. He's like, so
this movie does not exist, right?
It does exist.
This is just a ploy to get her.
Just so you know, this is a rape scene.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what? How does it fit in? Because I just heard the same pitch, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, why are you the person doing this? And, you know. So then we did it, and he's like, can we do it again? And then it's funny, because I'm like, I was just so curious. I'm like, can I see footage from that? Let me see the girl. How did it turn out, you know?
It worked out really well.
It worked out really well.
It
was so
well.
Funny to, like, have him come home and say, can we practice?
Yeah.
Like, who's raping whom, though? Are you the rapist?
I was raping this the amazing actress that was supposed to be.
Can you just isolate
that clip?
Yeah.
So it was,
she was really good. She made it far
actress.
Less uncomfortable than it could have been. But no, the character is spying on this girl who's in a hotel room, and then so on and so forth. But,
oh wow!
I got to see this. Yeah. Wow.
How do I ask Thomas to leave in the middle of the podcast? It's got really awkward.
Sorry.
Wow.
I knew I'd find that chink in that armor eventually.
Yeah.
There it is. He's a rapist.
I'm a rapist.
That is really an uncomfortable.
That's
going to
be the worst soundbite ever.
God.
I could never. You know, that's your boyfriend. So there you go.
That's me.
When does this come out?
We just finished shooting last week. And so I think the goal is to have a rough cut in a month and then polished in about 6 months.
Is it a feature or a short?
Yeah, it's a little feature we shot in Venice like and Santa Monica.
How fun.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of the work done on it.
The stuff I've seen of your directing of photography is amazing.
Thank you.
I'm still waiting for Steven to get his first full-length.
Oh, Kyle Cody.
Have you seen him? He has a real...
I've got some characters that I do.
Oh,
and
Kyle Cody
seems to be a fan favorite.
Steven. I don't know why.
It might as well be. His brother's name could be Steven, because Steven and Kyle Cody, that just works perfectly.
He's just like my friend that... Like I told you, he just looks like a guy who's trying to just hold on. So check it out. Check out Thomas is real at thomasbailey.com.
That's
it's thomasbailey.com, is it not?
Thomas-bailey.com.
The fourth.
I need to change it to williamthomasbailey4th.com with the in there as well.
.com. So during the break, I told Matt, I just want to get a little bit into how you put Super Ego together as far as how, so you put all the sound effects in. When do you record? How long does it take you to record an episode?
So we used to get together weekly. Now we just kind of do it whenever we can because we try not to get burnt out on it. So in a night we record maybe 3 to 4 sketches, and we stand up when we do it just so in case we need to get physical. Like Jeremy, whenever he talks, he just does these motions, and like if he's playing guitar, he fake plays, and he's very into it. You know, yeah, if ever there was a method improv actor, it's probably Jeremy.
Yeah.
I mean that in the best way. And so we have these weird vocal reflectors that keep what you're saying from bleeding into the other people's mics. So in editing, I need to like kind of overlap them or whatever. But that's weird too, because so you end up just seeing the person's eyes. So like when you're recording with Andy Daly, I've told this story before, and he's doing that Don DeMello character, and you just see this guy.
The behind the scenes video of him doing that one is amazing.
It's so good.
It's hilarious.
I mean, he's sort of an improv method actor too, in the way like he's not lost in the character, but he just goes so deeply that you can't help but react to the real guy there. It's amazing. And so we'll record 3 to 4 in a night, and then whenever I have time, like I usually take the one that I thought went best in the room and just start working on that, and then it takes 8 to 10, sometimes 12 hours to finish a sketch.
You do about one a month. It's kind of on a rough
schedule.
We
used to, yeah. These days it's a little less than that. Yeah.
But that's I feel like it all goes into when you get the finished product, it's 30 minutes, but it's 30 quality minutes, like I said, with sound effects. It's really theater of the mind. It's really great, and that's part of what I love about it is the sound effects, the music, and all the stuff you do really make it feel like a radio show. Mm. And so to me, it really it's funny, and then it kind of it's a throwback to those those records I would get. You know,
yeah, Monty me
Python
too.
Or like Firesign Theaters.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
So that's really what I enjoy about it. So,
thank you.
Even if it takes you a year to do one, just please don't stop. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks.
How much of it is actually? Do you guys start? You're both improv performers, so when you're doing something like Super Ego, where do you are you trying to get to a certain spot and then? Or do you, like, let's take, for example, the one everybody can hear, episode 4.3, you have H.R. Giger in a drive-thru, and you have a great punchline at the end. Did you already
I don't even remember what it is.
He's taking forever to order, and he's built this relationship with the thing, and then at the end, something spills, and H.R. Giger says, Paul Duncan says, oh, let me get you some napkins, and H.R. Giger says, make it quick, we're in a hurry.
Oh, that's a special circumstance. I have to give full credit to Jeremy. I'm trying to remember the exact specifics. So we do improvise those, and occasionally someone will make a joke in character, and then one of us will go, try this. Like we punch up each other's stuff, and
it's really
great because nobody has an ego about it. And if a good idea is a good idea, and Jeremy is, I think, is the wife said that line, and then he goes like halfway through, he goes, no, you should say this. And that was his line. He gave it to me. And we still try to keep it moving so that there's some spontaneity and like, we don't stop and go, okay, now I'm going to do that line. And that was all Jeremy.
Yeah. That was, so you just basically say who comes up, like if you say like the Ian Fleming sketch, which is another one of my favorites. did you just say, we're going to just do an interview with Ian Fleming and then just go, or do you have?
Yeah, we really don't talk it out much. We basically say, what's a good thing we can do with this character? Okay, let's do it. And then maybe if it's not gelling somewhere along the way, someone will go, let's try this or whatever. But mostly we just roll, and we obviously go longer than the sketches end up being. So there's plenty of dumb, bad stuff that doesn't make it, you know, there's plenty that doesn't work.
Now this episode will not air until 2 weeks from now. So it'll be the last week of January, but right now you're doing a show at Riot LA. You guys are doing live
last night,
Super Ego Live. Are you performing again tonight?
No, or? just last night.
How did it go?
It was really fun. It was super fun. I mean, the live shows are always a gamble in a way, but a good gamble. You just, cause we can edit the regular podcast, but we have to be aware that it has to be tighter on stage.
But you know, the audience is there for you, and they're kind of eating it up. It's not the same.
They were great.
We're gonna go into a bar in Kentucky, and we're gonna...
yeah, open mic night.
Yeah.
Amanda and I talk about this a lot, where we've gotten past the point of not being beyond that, but just not wanting to do that thing where you go to a crowd that doesn't know you, because that's just an intense, scary.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so shows like that are make me tense and dread them, and because I hate having to prove myself to an audience.
Well,
and that's
so
not
many,
easy to do.
There's so many great places in LA. You know, you have the UCB.
Yeah.
And there's so many great theaters that are just open for improv that, you know, you can go and even if just to kind of hone your skills as well. How did you start out doing improv?
In high school, maybe you've heard of comedy sports. It's a lot of people haven't, but it's really one of the longest formed groups in LA. So they did this thing where they would come to high schools and high schools would perform improv against other high schools, like a varsity sport. So I met with them and started one at my high school. And then when I graduated, I was tiny. And then a year later, the head of comedy sports said, "Hey, have you grown? Do you look in any way like an adult?" And I said, "Yeah, I have." And so then I started doing it with the LA group, the Hollywood group. And then from there, met all the people that I know, Mark and Jeremy from comedy sports, and a bunch of the people we had on. And then a lot of people, there were so many talented people in comedy sports, but they all kind of then went to IO or UCB and stuff. So in some ways it's sad they left comedy sports behind, but then comedy sports was kind of, didn't really move to the next step. And it was also clean, like family improv.
Too. Oh,
it was you know, like a lot of church groups would go to it and stuff.
But
and,
you know, that's another skill. You have to be funny and not revert to any
super glad I did it because it didn't allow you to be dependent on shock humor. Yeah. And I know we get pretty dirty on Superego, but we have this like informal rule where if someone's going to use a curse word, do it, invent a new word for it. Cause it like takes it out of that just schlocky humor, but it gives the character kind of an original voice. So we often will say like some horrible word and then one of us will go now say that line again, but how would that character phrase it? And it comes out, you know, like a chaunch or crooch or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's
you don't
funny.
Know what the hell it is. But people know what it is, but no one's heard this word. It's like a Marf Rainbow.
That's really, really great. Yeah, I know because, like I said, my daughter knows all of Paula Tompkins' routine. But if you listen to Paula's first album, I think it's called Impersonal.
Yeah.
He works very cleanly, very, very cleanly.
He used to be, almost as a rule clean. Yeah,
yeah, he swears a little more now. Yeah. But you can listen to that whole thing, and it's hilarious. And there's no swearing, and it's almost like it's that next level of, you know, him not relying on, you know. And I think it's different in stand-up, though, because you hear so many stand-ups just, you know, it's just they're conversing. The best stand-ups are just having a conversation with you, and so it comes out naturally. But when I hear somebody who doesn't, it's like, wow, that's really impressive. Do you have a favorite character or sketch you like to do, Matt? Don't do it now. But
no, you know, of all the things, my favorite things to do are when we just do these round robin episodes where all these characters pop in and out. Mm-hmm. So I tend to like the shorter character things. So, God, I don't know. It changes. I mean, I love Ian Fleming just because I love Bond so much. But
and your Fleming is perfect because it's that really weird British guy. It's hard to explain.
I don't know how to explain it either.
Yeah, but I think you guys broke it down in James Bonding when you said, you know, it's the class system that really gives birth to these to certain characters. Yeah. Amanda, do you guys improv a lot at home? Do you guys start doing scenes? Do you start doing scenes, or is it hard to deal with them?
I like to keep it serious at home.
She doesn't. No, she doesn't bring the work home from the office.
We do a little bit sometimes.
It is the best when you do because it makes my day.
Oh, that's sweet. I'll be more silly.
Wait,
with
there was
you.
Something this morning.
I don't remember, but I love when Matt always says like I won't laugh at his jokes, which I say is not true, but he knows how to make me laugh. It's when he does his Koch voice. Koch DeLuch?
I don't even know.
Do your Koch voice for Lauren. Oh, God. It's a character? It's a
I don't know what to call it. It's just like a troubled person.
Do your Koch
maybe
voice.
We have to hear it to understand.
Hi, could I interest you in some me?
That's funny.
I don't...
How, when do you do that at home?
I don't
what
know.
Context? I don't want to know.
It's time.
Oh, I get it.
No, I don't.
That's beautiful.
No.
He asks Amanda over for some scotch and sofa in that voice.
I'm drawing a bath.
That's really great. It just comes out of him. It's amazing. So, Amanda, are you... Now, right now, you wrote a TV show with Matt. Do you guys like writing together? Is that easy for you, or is it like, oh God, I want to kill you?
I mean, I think it was definitely different for us because anytime you're working with your boyfriend or girlfriend, like, I just feel it's like there's home me, which is like fun girlfriend me. And then when I go into work mode, I can get kind of intense, and writing can be so stressful. So I think it was a little bit of a transition. But by the end, we did really well.
We really figured it out. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun because, you know, we were like locked in over the holidays working on this script on a deadline, and we'd just go out to the little diner and work and have to go home, and it was just really fun.
Yeah. It's funny too because we never had disagreements really about jokes. It was our working relationship, but we did a really good thing where, like, if somebody really felt strongly about a joke, the other one would go, okay. And then, you know, if someone was really strongly like, that doesn't work, it was okay. You just had to voice your opinion, and that never seemed to be a problem for us. I think that's what most writers have trouble with.
Yeah. But we were on the same page. I think we'll work together again.
That's awesome. I think we should.
Yeah, we should.
You guys seem to mesh well.
Yeah, we have similar senses of humor, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time to do a couples podcast, guys. Everybody's doing it.
Are they?
Yeah. Kumail Nanjiani and his wife do one called The Indoor Kids, and they talk about video games and... You know.
We would just talk about our cat.
Yeah,
that's so like an hour and a half podcast where we just talk about what our cat's doing.
It's funny, like, since having a cat, like, I don't know, that's like 90% of our conversation.
We don't talk anymore. I know.
It's
like,
what did we talk about before, too?
I know.
It's so crazy.
That's what I said. Matt got mad the other day, but I said, do you think we'd still be together if we didn't have a cat?
Yeah, who gets the cat if it breaks up?
We've talked about that.
Oh, yeah. We've already had that discussion.
Yes, Matt can have the cat.
Yeah. It's not that I like win in that. Yeah. It's that I'm being
I would love to be able to sleep in without that cat waking me up.
I'll take the cat.
I've turned into a cat. I love dogs. We got a dog. I didn't have a pet for long, so we had a dog. Nothing but pictures of my dog on Instagram. Yeah. Lauren knows. Then we just adopted a kitten for my daughter from the pound.
Oh, so
most adorable
cute.
Little thing ever. And she's in the sink. I'm like, I got to document this. But people have to know.
Stop. So cute.
She's adorable. She's adorable.
She actually hopped in the sink.
Yeah,
she's so little. Yeah. It's adorable.
Oh my gosh.
She's cool. She is fun. And she plays with the dogs and they have like a good relationship. But yeah, I could talk for like, look at my cat. I'm that person.
Now. Oh, same. Yeah.
Jeez.
Same.
Yes. Yeah. What happened to me?
What happened to all of us? Yeah.
We got cats is what
happened. Yeah.
The same thing that happened to anybody that gets a goddamn cat.
They are adorable, aren't they? They are. Yeah. It's adorable. Okay, you're welcome to Cat Chat with that's your new one.
You know what? I can tell you that already almost existed. I have this side job where I work as a podcast developer, and
could you help me develop my podcast?
I sure can. There's a show called Cat Talk, and it was a call-in comedy show for people with cats, and it was Michael Showalter from The State. And he's a cat fanatic. He adopts and rescues cats, and Mark Maron was the first guest who has a bunch of cats as well, but then he got too busy, so this episode exists, and it never came out. And like, there's a segment where they had this vet on who would answer serious questions, because he's kind of... loves cats, but he's not a professional. So he would give advice, but in the end, they would kind of check his advice against science. It's not exactly the same. But I wish that show could go on.
That would be a great one.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
I just thought of a good app idea.
What?
I don't know. Maybe should I say it publicly?
Want to share it with everyone?
Yeah.
Share it with the world.
If it's made, it'll benefit everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe something already exists like this. I guess... in a way, like, hashtags might answer this problem.
You're inventing hashtags right now?
Wow,
but
you know, like
Snapchat, if it was all for cats, like a cat Snapchat.
To another cat.
So cats can send dirty photos to each other?
So you can always, like, look at people put up their pictures of just cats. It's like a feed.
So it's more like an Instagram, but only for cats.
But then I guess, is that a hashtag?
Yeah.
Cat feed? Thank you.
Cat feed.
There you go.
Cat
That's
feed.
A freebie.
Cats
That's
a right.
freebie.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Maybe somebody out there will take this idea and run with it.
There we go. It was born right here. We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to get everybody's recommendations.
Oh, all
right.
Fun.
All right. Woo-hoo. So we will be right back.
Oh, perfect. Bye.
We are back. I just had a nice trip down memory lane with Matt Gourley. We hung around on a lot of this. We had the same haunts.
That's right.
When we were growing up. That's really, really weird.
Yeah.
So, but it is nice to... We didn't get to talk about Whittier at all this time, but we hopefully you'll be back, and then we'll talk about... We'll just do a Whittier podcast.
We should just, the two of us, talk about Whittier.
Yeah, everybody will be bored to tears, but we'll be like, remember the fortune bookie? Remember?
Oh,
yeah, that's good stuff. See, he's looking at that. And it went out in the earthquake. What a horrible way for that shop to go out, but...
They had the famous thing about the Whittier earthquake was that Quaker Savings... The R fell off in the earthquake, and yes, it said Quake Savings.
But that was the biggest earthquake in Southern California until Northridge. That was a huge deal.
But I'll tell you what, Northridge didn't feel as big because I wasn't in Northridge at the time. When that Whittier earthquake happened, it changed my world. I was so afraid after that. I went home and built a shelter out of chairs. And I was so scared.
It was huge. Buildings collapsed. I mean, they downgraded it.
What?
At the time, they thought it was like a 6 point something, but now I think it was like a 5.9.
It felt like...
But the epicenter was just a few miles. Nerve. It was under the old La Habra Drive-In. That was the epicenter for the Whittier quake.
When did it happen?
87.
Not to get too deep with it, but that is really one of the main reasons I got so into like my love of science, because I remember going back to school and people would be like, Nostradamus said the world's going to end today, or this is earthquake weather. And I always was like, what are you talking about? Like, don't scare me. And then I would go read up on it and go, there's no such thing as earthquake weather, or Nostradamus is bullshit.
Thank you for putting that.
Tell that to Beck.
That got me into like critical thinking and stuff like that. I was out of fear.
You know what people say, it's 21st century. How's their racism? I'm like, I'm still mad that people believe in earthquake weather in the 21st century.
Yeah.
But my best friend he's an engineer, and he has a great argument for people who say earthquake weather. Earthquake weather. He's like, what about underwater earthquakes? They happen all the time.
Oh, and there's not weather.
There's no weather.
No weather underwater.
Well, current and temperature is the same as wind and Fahrenheit.
So what I always ask is, I ask all my guests to bring in 5 recommendations, and we're doing the same thing, so that's how we're going to close out the show. So the first thing I asked is, if you have a movie, it doesn't have to be current. If you guys just have a movie that you're in love with or you want to share with our audience, does everybody have something like that? We'll start with the ladies first.
Good call.
To my left, the lovely Laura Nichols.
Okay.
Do you have any films that you have?
Yeah.
Or a TV show?
I just actually... Want to
recommend Friends?
No, I don't. I just have one movie. Actually, I just made Amanda watch it on Friday.
Oh, my God.
It's an awesome,
she tricked
awesome
us
movie.
I said, let's just watch the first 5 minutes so you guys get a taste. And then, what do you know? We were so compelled, we watched the whole thing.
We were compelled is not the word for it. We were so stoned that we watched the whole thing.
It's amazing.
It makes it better.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's called... Samsara.
Is it in the Koyaanisqatsi trilogy? Is it one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And so, like, what it is, this guy spent, I think, over 10 years taking footage from around the world. And it's, like, in the style kind of like Planet Earth, where it's, like, really high definition, like, beautiful quality footage. And it's, like, exploring all the, like, the wonders of the world, kind of, really. So it's things like a volcanic explosion, but then also, like, Tibetan monks doing one of, like, the sand mandalas.
Oh, yeah.
And so all these, like, just incredible things that are just happening. But then it's always, like, juxtaposed with, like, just...
Factory farms.
Yeah, and these other things that make you shudder that are also happening right now. And so it's really... cool to watch. It's just like a series of clips sent to different musical scores, and it's like an hour and a half.
Philip Glass did the original score for that was a good pull, because we used to carry that when I worked at the video store I told you about. The owner was obsessed with it.
Oh,
with that movie. But I think it was because all the stoners used to come. All the stoners used to come in. I'll have to check
wonderful
it out. And Amanda, so after you've cleansed your palate from that movie,
I will
after
also lend my recommendation for that film. But
would you watch it again?
I would watch it again, yeah, because it's kind of just like background noise, you know, but in a beautiful way. But I think my recommendation has to be for my favorite TV show, which a lot of people have seen, but a shocking amount of people have not seen, which is The Comeback. HBO's The Comeback.
Is that Lisa
Kudrow? And they did the first season 10 years ago, and it got canceled. I guess it's the lowest watched show in HBO history, but it's also my favorite show. It's amazing. And they just came back with a second season, which is just as good. And it's just painfully funny, and Lisa Kudrow's a genius, and you should watch it.
Thomas, what do you have, sir?
I'm compelled to say two different things. Black Mirror was amazing. Everyone's talking about that one.
Yeah, Amanda recommended that.
But as far as movies, I'd say Frank. I absolutely loved Frank. We went and saw it in the theaters, and then as soon as it came on Netflix, it was like, I have to watch it. And I'm probably going to watch it again in the next 2 weeks because it's so good.
I got to watch that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Your recommendation has worked. Both
of you. Matt, what do you have, sir?
We recently watched Under the Skin and with Scarlett Johansson, but not... Probably.
You said that so fabulously.
Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, really?
Because
I think I always get Famke Janssen, and I always want to go Scarlett Johansson.
You know what? He's got respect.
As a fourth, I should be talking like
that. Yeah, it is. Johansson. No, you can say Johansson.
What you can say however you damn well please.
Johansson. Yeah.
You said it like how William Thomas Bailey the IV would have said
now
it.
We're talking. Now we're talking.
Johansson.
Now we're talking.
With an ascot and a monocle.
Pardon my tweet.
Elbow patches. I just put that weird accent. I said elbow patches. Elbow patches. All right. Lauren, do you have a book or a magazine you'd like to recommend?
I really just thought about the same story. I'll be honest. So I just have one.
Okay, that's perfect.
You can pass.
Pass.
But you lose a point.
Yeah. Amanda?
I guess her book, this is just maybe more for the ladies, Rules of Civility by Amor Towles, I think is how you say his last name, T-O-W-L-E-S.
I wouldn't know how else to
say
it. Towles, yeah.
T-O-W-L-E-S. Is that how you spell towels?
Oh. You spell towel like...
E-L-S.
E-L-S, yeah.
L-E-S is how he spells his name.
Oh, so, yeah. Towels.
Tolls.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I guess we'll never know.
Only there was some device.
Mysteries of life.
But the book, just to cap it up real quick, is about two young society women in the 30s or 40s, I think. And they, you know, they're... they meet a gentleman who's an aristocrat, and he kind of takes them into this world of nice dinners. You know, the illicit world of nice dinners.
That's how I got Amanda.
Yeah, the illicit world of nice dinners.
That world your parents warn you about.
Oh, another sentence that did not end the way I was going. Thomas?
I don't read a lot of fiction, but Lauren gave me the H.G. Wells Time Machine. I've been absolutely loving it.
Oh,
it's so good. Yeah. It's my favorite book.
It's been kind of crossing, opening the doors of fiction to me, which I've been really enjoying.
H.G. Wells is a good place to start.
It's a good way to go.
Mr.
Mine is a play that...
Mr. Gorley.
I think my favorite piece of fiction is this play by Tom Stoppard called Arcadia. And I think it was written in the 90s, and it takes place in current day and then in the 1800s, and it's about this estate and what they do in the 1800s and how the repercussions happen in the current day. But it's all about like Newtonian physics mixed with love, and it's amazing.
Carnal Desire.
Yeah.
Have you read it? Yeah, I read it in high school, actually. It was like our first book in English and... junior year.
Did I even say the title?
Familiar, Arcadia.
Arcadia.
Stoppard also wrote Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Okay.
Yeah.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, which is fantastic if you have not read it.
Yeah. Every time I read it, there's a new thing I find, like a new level. It's incredible.
I'm going to have to look. See, now I have to actually follow up with this. I'm just assigning myself homework.
He doesn't listen to our recommendations, but he'll listen to your recommendations.
No, I'm listening to your recommendations.
Hey, give me your recommendation and I'll sign it.
Yeah, I've got tight shoulders and baths. I'm going to walk out of here a new man.
Lauren, tight shoulders and baths.
Yeah, that is another great podcast name. Yeah. Lauren, what are you listening to? Aside from this.
Kind of what Thomas has been playing, so we can do this one together if you don't mind.
Nice.
Which one are you going to steal?
That new CD you got with a guy, his voice is like...
What's the name of it?
I don't know.
Okay, Trophy Scars.
But it's really cool. Like, the lead singer has like a really like grovelly Tom Waits style voice, but it's like this...
it's Tom Waits minus like 35 years of cigarettes. And so it's
like, it's really cool because it's, I don't know, five or six people. It's either way, how many people? It sounds like this big band of people, and it's almost like pirate music in a way, but like not like too, you know, cheap. Like
it's pretty indescribable. You just have to listen to
it. There's violins, there's flutes, and it's just so much energy. Like each song is just so like fabulous. So I would say that.
And who was that?
Trophy Scars.
And what is the name of the album?
Holy Vacants.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's incredible. incredible ventriloquism work. Amanda, what are you listening to?
Honestly, the only thing I've been listening to is the soundtrack to The Holiday. I'm not kidding. Also, if you put that in as a Pandora station, you get a lot of really fun film scores.
There you go. I am a sucker for listening to, like I told Matt earlier, I love film scores.
Yeah.
I'll get sucked in. I will have a playlist of just all these great movies I've never even seen. Like,
yeah.
I'll listen to like the Dr. Zhivago soundtrack.
Oh, that's a beautiful
bird track.
Oh, yeah.
The Birdman soundtrack.
Is it good?
Oh my God, it's amazing.
That's a good
best about that movie.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
One of my favorites when I just want to feel like, when I'm driving and I want to feel really cool, I'll listen to the Hans Zimmer, the Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes score. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, this is really great. No, I'm driving. I've got to get to work. I've got to solve a mystery.
You're the star of your own movie.
Yeah, right? That is not the Sherlock Holmes. Mr. Gorley.
Well, I was going to say, I think my favorite album is by this band Midlake, and they do this, like, it's kind of a concept album about, like, settling in Oregon in the possibly the prairie days. I don't really know. But it's kind of like new. This is gonna probably put you off of it, but prog rock, but it's not. It's almost like old Fleetwood Mac. It's so good. But then on the way here, you reminded me because of what you're into as well. Have you ever heard of Living in These Star Wars by Dan Whitley's Rebel Force Band?
No.
Okay.
But it is. I'm going to Google it right now.
It's this. So when Star Wars came out, it was this obviously this huge sensation, and this guy ran this recording studio in a. Friend of his came in and said, we're kind of writing this movie, this music based on this movie. And he had this like producer guy who had this money and said, I need to do this project as a tax write-off. Just have these musicians come in and record this. It was not associated with Star Wars in any way, but it's all Star Wars references. And it's this like 70s rock, kind of prog rock, slightly disco album that is so catchy and good. Like, there's a song called Chewie the Rookie Wookie and Living in These Star Wars and Oh Leia. And it's just this authentic.
With lyrics?
Mm-hmm. Or, it's authentic 70s music.
And what is the name of the album again?
It's called Living in These Star Wars.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just a treasure trove today.
It's and I got it from this great podcast called The Star Wars Minute, where every episode.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that,
yeah. It's a great podcast.
That's awesome. Thank you. See you guys. Come on. Put some effort in.
This is what he's talking about.
I always ask if you have an app or some kind of gadget that has made your life better. Lauren?
No.
I like seeing Lauren panic.
Cat feed.
It's pretty fun.
Amanda? I like seeing Lauren panic.
Yeah, Lauren, her face is just like she's at school and she didn't do her homework. I don't really have one, but recently we were gifted a stapleless stapler.
What?
I don't know how it works.
Yet. Does it crimp the paper?
It like crimps it folds the paper it under?
Yeah, yeah. I have one of those.
So it hasn't made my life easier yet because I haven't really used it, but I'm anticipating a huge improvement.
Just time saved from not stapling.
And money.
Yeah.
All those staples I buy.
A lot of money
I
saved on staples.
I spend $1,000 on staples per year.
You're probably doing something wrong. Unless you're still making a newsletter for whatever reason. Thomas, what do you got?
I don't remember the name of the app, but it's for Supercross season, which I'm sure I'm the only person here that watches that. Yeah. But it's motorcycle racing, and it's an app that lets me keep up on all that. And it's really well put together.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you get that app on Sunday.
Dread hit $5. No, it's
you can buy the whole seat. No. You only need the edge. All right, Mr. Gorley. That's a, you don't remember Sunday. We turn Anaheim Stadium into a giant blood pit.
I know that. I've never heard. You don't need the whole. Don't buy.
You can buy
seat.
The whole seat, but you only need the edge.
That's right. That's right.
But could I buy just the edge if I wanted to?
What's the name of the thing that would destroy the monster trucks? Was it just Destroyer? It was like a robot.
Gravedigger. The dinosaur thing.
Yeah. Truckosaurus.
Truckosaurus.
Yeah.
You'll shit a kid.
Mr. Gorley, what app has made your life?
I've been using this app called Filmic Pro because I bought
these
lenses for the iPhone, and we've been kind of like we went on two mini vacations, and we've been improvising films as we go just to edit later.
That's awesome.
And so you can change the exposure and then lock it in, so when you kind of zoom in and out, it doesn't change the lighting, and you can rack focus and do all these crazy things on the iPhone that even like 6 years ago you couldn't do with an affordable camera, you know?
It's That's amazing. Really cool.
So yeah. Those, like, you download that? You don't, like, yeah. It's not like an attachment? It's all...
Yeah.
How
it's,
cool.
It's, and well, the lenses are an attachment. On there, okay. And you can do super high speed and frame rates. And...
I think I'm starting to see some of that pop up on Instagram. Yeah. People using a lot of that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Need a new phone. That's the problem. I'm still using it. I'd love to use like the modern, but I have a 4, so a lot of that stuff doesn't work on my phone. I have the old Filmic Pro where it's like you can lock your aperture.
I have that too, but I have to say some of the stuff doesn't work on the new one because it's still a little buggy. I mean, not to put it down, it's the best. I love it.
Really cool. Thank you. There's only one app I'm going to recommend. I usually don't jump in, but I'm obsessed. My wife and I play this little board game called Mr. Jack Pocket Edition. And it's just a two...
sure this is a board game?
No, it is a board game. Right. It's called Mr. Jack, Pocket Edition. So what you have is one of you plays the investigators, which is Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and the bulldog Toby. And the other person is Jack the Ripper, and you're trying to escape Whitechapel. And so you just lay out these 9 little tiles, and each tile has a face on them. And they're all different, of a different person that... Jack the Ripper has identified or has assumed the identity of, and you get one. You pick one character at the beginning. So one of you is trying to hide, and one of you is trying to discover. And it's really, really fun.
It sounds like Stratego. Or something.
It is. It's a really strategic game, but you can play against a computer, and it's like five. There are five, or not five. It's $5 on. Come on in. Come on in, Vince. It's
more,
like $5
merrier.
In your it's like $5 in your iOS in your iTunes or your Android, but you can check it out and it's awesome. Vince is visiting us. He's here. Oh, he's playing Jenga with a bunch of really expensive stuff. Yes. So we have a special thing we're doing now. We're adding a little inside the actor's studio, and we're adding the parts of the Marcel Proust questionnaire. We pick 10 questions at random, and this is how we're going to wrap up today's show. And we have a special guest today, everyone, from the afterlife. H.R. Giger is here to answer 10 of Marcel Proust's... he didn't come up with the questions, but he answered them famously. And so, Mr. Giger, welcome.
Hi. I had a hiccup in my throat because part of my esophagus has gone on a go-away.
How are you finding the afterlife, Mr. Giger? This must be a dream come true for you.
It's a nightmare come true, which is essentially a dream for me. As you know, anything happy makes me sad, which in turn makes me very comfortable.
Your first question in the questionnaire is, you are ready for this, right?
That's my question?
No, but you are ready to begin.
That's my question.
No, that is not your question. Okay. But it is a question, but it's not your question.
Whose is it?
It's not
a woman's.
No. I would never ask you a lady's question.
Thank you.
I know enough about you to know that. So before we begin the quiz, I just want to make sure you're prepared to answer the question.
Well phrased as a statement so as not to confuse me.
That's right.
Yes, I am ready.
This is not my first rodeo. What is your current state of mind?
Varicose.
How would you describe a varicose state of mind to those who are not familiar with that state of mind?
That is a sort of inflamed vein that can protrude through the skin, so pretty good.
What would you consider your greatest achievement, Mr. Giger?
Death.
Oh, excellent. And what is your motto? We talked about mottos earlier in the show. What is yours?
You can't... pop just one. Once you stop, you can't pop. How could you eat a chip when there are these other ones? You know, that slogan?
Yeah. You can't eat just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one can eat just one.
No, that's it.
No one.
Stop not eating these snacks.
That's another great. Do you mind if I market that?
Please.
Okay. Number four is... what trait do you most deplore in yourself?
Oh, just myself. Just being. I always hated that I existed and was alive.
But now you're not. So how do you feel? So you feel varicose.
I'm feeling pretty good. Sitting easy. I'm like the equivalent of an old man playing banjo on an Everglades porch.
Oh, like in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Bingo.
Is that? This is not part of the quiz, but do you enjoy? Did you enjoy Disneyland as a living entity?
Absolutely. I was more of a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride kind of guy.
Oh, because you ended up in hell. You ended up in hell.
Yeah. Dumbo's pretty good too. Get to go in circles, ride in a pachyderm copter. Ivory tusks are very close to what you could ever get as a calcified exoskeleton, so you must admit that I'm a fan.
Yes, of course. Of course. I don't have to admit it, but you should.
No, you do.
Oh, I do admit it.
Yeah.
What is your favorite occupation?
Oh, golly. I guess horticulturist.
Did you have any interest in topiary gardens?
Absolutely, because, you know, any form of sculptor, itchering is a word I just came up out with, is the greatest, because any tit can draw, but to make something tangible or in the corporeal structure the real art.
Yes. So It's a Small World would probably have been one of your favorite rides as well.
Yeah, but too close to home, you know what I mean?
No.
Well, just my mind inside is very much like a trip through It's a Small World.
Oh, is that true? I would have imagined the opposite would
well,
be true.
Well, but replace ethnic cultures with women's, and that's frightening. Different women's representing the different lands.
So it's like your own haunted mansion.
Yes.
So haunted mansion would be more like It's a Small World for you.
I suppose, but that's amateur hour, really.
I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you.
Thank you.
On what occasion do you lie?
Most times I can, I think. No, actually, I'm very, very earnest because you don't get anywhere by lying because there's a whole layer of I got to work through that to get to the truth when I'd rather just say that women have a certain type of, what's the word? They have oils on their skins that I find wholly abhorrent, I guess.
So the layer acts as much as a layer of oil on the water separating you from the women.
They're vinegar and I'm baking soda.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. What do you value most in your friends?
That they're not my friends. You know? Where are you?
I'm sorry, I stepped away for a moment. I got who is the greatest love of your life?
My girlfriend and wife, who might also be my mother, Carmen Maria Schiffola Giger, because she frightens me, which makes me love hers more.
Yes.
And one time she was horrible to me, and that's when we fell in love. That was it. That was the moment.
Which talent would you most like to have?
Horticulture-y.
You don't have that? I thought you had it.
Well, I can do botanical sculpture, but I'm, you know, I don't have a green thumb.
You'd like to maybe crossbreed some different species of flower and things like that.
Now we're talking. Like a dark squid ink black orchid.
That would be great. Yeah.
Symbolic of a Georgia O'Keeffe lady time. But I would run from it. So I would plant it, but in a closed room that I'd never see.
Are you a big fan of Miss O'Keefe's, maybe the bleached cow skull? Are you a big fan of her?
She's great.
Yeah.
She's really the other version of me.
I would say that I see some similarities.
Like if I were a lesbian lady,
yes.
And I might be,
yeah.
That's who I'd be.
And your last question, who is your hero of fiction, Mr. Giger?
I guess I would say... Faust.
Yeah. Oh.
Dr. Faust. Dr. Faustus. Because, you know, he made a deal with the devil.
With the devil, yes.
Yeah. And don't go doing that, because as we know, you're going to get it.
As we know.
Do we know that?
I would assume.
I got it. You don't even want to know where I am.
I don't want to know.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. What's that noise?
I think there's nothing. There's music that follows you around wherever you go.
Oh, I tried to get away from that. You know, I made the microphone stand for the band Korn.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Do you not like music? Do you not like music?
That's true.
Is that true?
That's true.
You know they're from Bakersfield, right?
Yeah, I no, I do know that.
Okay.
I'm into A, music trivia, and B, Central California towns.
Yeah, the San Joaquin Valley.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. What are some of your other favorite towns?
Visalia, Reedley, Dianuba.
How do you feel about Exeter?
Oh, Exeter's great. They have a train station museum there.
Yeah, and then it's right next to Farmersville.
I'm never happier than when I'm wearing my little Casey Jones choo-choo hat. In Exeter? All those towns have water towers.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Pixley.
Lindsley. I'll just say what you say.
Okay. Kettleman City. I can't. Firebaugh.
Firebomb.
No, Firebaugh.
Firebaugh.
Well, Mr. Giger, it has been such a pleasure to have you.
Great time.
Please come back and visit us anytime you wish.
Okay, I'm not leaving, so no need to come back.
Oh, well, Mr. Gourley had to step out, so for Matt Gourley, for Thomas Bailey, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Lauren Nichols, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was fun.
Amanda, where can we follow your work?
Oh, well, let's see.
Are you on the Twitter?
I'm on the Twitter. I Amanda Fun Buns, also on Instagram, Amanda Fun Buns.
That's fantastic.
So come find me and yeah, I'll see you there.
Thomas, we can find you as always at thomasbailey.com. Yeah. Thomas Dash Bailey
and idealists.com.
Okay.
It's a new thing coming up.
And are you on Facebook or
yeah, if you...
Twitter or anywhere you want people to follow you? No? You got to get on the Twitter.
I have an account, but it gets updated like once every 6 months with a dumb joke. So probably about Blake Griffin.
Sounds fun.
And Mr. Giger, would you, if you don't mind letting us know where we can find Matt Gourley on the Super Ego podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. You can find him does the Journeyman have a website?
You could just go to gosuperego.com or there on iTunes and Bandcamp.
And then we can follow. I believe we can follow you on Mr. Gourley on Twitter as well.
Yeah, his name just Matt Gourley.
And that's it. GOURLEY.
Yeah.
And he's also the host of James Bonding over on the Nerdist Network.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
And is there anything else he'd like to promote? Or
he has a new podcast called I Was There Too, where he interviews people present in great scenes of cinema history, like, I don't know, passengers on the bus in Speed or...
Oh, my God, what a great idea for a podcast.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great. It's the best podcast that I've ever heard. And let me tell you, as H.R. Giger, all I do is listen to podcasts.
Is that true?
Oh, it's so great.
What was your favorite podcast before?
Car Talk.
Oh, well, one of the members of Car Talk, sadly, he's just joined your ranks.
He's sitting next to me.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
He won't talk, though.
I don't think he would.
The Lord took his tongue for tasks he had done in the real world.
Well, with that...
Horrifying.
With that,
I got to keep it, and I wear it inside my tongue vest.
You only have a tongue vest.
Want to buy a tongue?
You just carry those around, do you?
Wouldn't you?
I suppose I would.
Yeah.
So for Matt Gourley, for Amanda, Amanda Lund, for Lauren Nichols, and for Thomas Bailey, as we end every podcast, we say that this transmission ends now.